And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X-minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
It's 11:08 on Valentine's Day. It's also Jack Benny's birthday, February 14th, 2016. This is program 52. So if we were playing cards, we'd have 52 cards. Right, Lisa?
Right, or 52 weeks. Or
52 weeks, yeah. And Jack Benny was born on Valentine's Day, and we're going to celebrate his birthday. Because I'm not that romantic. So, I mean, Valentine's Day doesn't really mean that much to me. It's like, I don't really have a romantic bone in my body.
Yeah, I was waiting for chocolates, but nothing.
I'm not into romantic movies at all. Like The Notebook? Eh.
Yeah.
No, not my kind of movie.
No.
Maybe give me a slasher film any day.
Someday, you know? Some girl will win you over.
Yeah.
Some lucky
this
gal.
This is true. This is true. And Jack Benny, we have a celebration for Jack, and we're going to start things off with a birthday program for him from February 13th, the day before his birthday. And then he stars on Suspense in The Face is Familiar from 1954. And then he's a guest on the Burns and Allen Show. So three shows with the man of the evening and morning, Jack Benny. But first, our sponsor segment, Cat's Pride Celebrity Scoop.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as Mystique, a mutant with shape-shifting abilities in X-Men Apocalypse, an upcoming superhero film based on the X-Men characters that appear in Marvel Comics.
Now, this celebrity, I've heard her say that she doesn't go out on dates much. Maybe she's not a romantic
she
either.
She might be looking for you.
Yeah. Well, she's all the way in Hollywood, so that's not
right.
going to work
she's
out.
She's an attractive young woman.
All right, so you have to figure out who this celebrity is, and you'll win some tickets to see Mind Over Chicago, is that what it's called?
Yes, with Mark Salem running right now at the Apollo Theater Chicago.
All right, two tickets to the Apollo Theater, and just call us at 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This is her in a scene from 2013's American Hustle.
Carmine. Why don't you just marry Carmine? Get a little gold microwave and put it on a chain around your neck. You want to be more like Carmine? Why don't you build something like he does instead of all your empty deals?
All right. So if you can tell me who that celebrity is and get on the air here, you'll win two tickets to the Apollo Theater. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
You are listening.
I was just going to say, this brings back memories here.
Okay. Is it
my
turn?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay. You done?
Make sure, Dan, play a little bit more disco later, would you? All right, buddy, thanks.
We good now?
Okay.
Okay, because you know what? We've got Elizabeth on the line. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
Oh, Carmine, with the one that Carmine gave me. Carmine. Why don't you just marry Carmine? Get a little gold microwave and put it on a chain around your neck. You want to be more like Carmine? Why don't you build something like he does instead of all your empty deals?
Elizabeth, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. We're so glad you called in. Can you tell me who that celebrity is?
It's Jennifer Lawrence.
It is Jennifer Lawrence, and you are a winner. I think you're going to love this. You have won a pair of tickets to Mind Over Chicago with Mark Salem. He is the world's foremost mentalist and purveyor of mind games. Does that sound great?
That does sound great.
Yeah,
boyfriend will for sure enjoy that.
Oh, good. It's a great show, and it's all about the human mind, and it's very interactive. It's playing right now at the newly renovated Apollo Theater Chicago through March 27th. And for more information, go to apollochicago.com. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth. I bet you Elizabeth's boyfriend's romantic.
I don't know. We should have asked her.
Yeah, I bet
you
he
still
is.
There? Elizabeth, is your boyfriend romantic?
He is. We actually just came from dinner right now.
Very nice.
Super romantic.
Oh, that's great.
See, and now you can give him a pair of tickets. So
yeah,
it's all
cool.
Good.
Now I can surprise
Exactly. Nice. See, Carl, you could learn a lesson.
Happy Valentine's Day, the two
Happy
of you.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thanks for listening to the show. I love it when someone's romantic. It's not me.
Yeah. Well, you could aspire to be more like others.
I'll try. I have to try. You know, Jack Benny probably wasn't that romantic.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem like a romantic guy.
Hey, what goes on behind closed doors? Who knows?
You never know. Hey, you know what? Let's hit a goal. Let's try to do 100. Let's try to do 100 likes to our Facebook page from now until 2 o'clock in the morning. That would be our Valentine's Day present from our listeners. How about you're
asking for a gift?
I'm asking for a gift.
You have to give in order to receive.
We are. We're going to give. We're going to give three radio shows tonight.
Fair enough.
So, listeners, if you can do this, I don't know how to do it, but you can log on. They tell me that you can just log on to Facebook,
It's very easy. You just go on to Facebook, type in WGN Radio Theater, and then just like it.
All right. So
it's very simple.
I'd love to get – let's see if we can do this. We'll look at how many do we have right now, Mike. It's not enough. I know that.
It's like 1,300 maybe.
What is it exactly? Can you tell me?
I can tell you.
I will in a second
it
here.
It is 1,390.
All right. I'm writing it down. 1,390. So let's see if we can get to
1,500. Let's make it nice and even.
Well, let's get to 1,490 or more, right? By the end of – by 2 o'clock in the morning. So we really, really need your help, folks out there in Radio Land, listening to the WGN Radio Theater. Please, please like us. We really want to get to that number.
I like you, Carl.
Right? All right. So we thought we would celebrate Jack Benny's birthday on Valentine's Day here. He was born on Valentine's Day. And this first program we're going to play is the Jack Benny Show. You know, Jack Benny was one of the most beloved American entertainers of the 20th century. He was born right here in Chicago and grew up in Waukegan, Illinois. And in vaudeville, he played the violin as a prop. You know, he did his comedy, but he had like a prop where George Burns had a cigar, Jack Benny had a violin. And he was really in show business from 1932 all the way to the end of his career. But he never got older than 39. He never would admit to being older than 39. His persona, you know, of this sort of this kind of stingy guy, but he really wasn't in real life. He was really a generous person, and he was definitely a radio, film, and TV star of the highest magnitude. He was married to Mary Livingston, who on the show was really not his wife. It was just kind of his girlfriend. And then the supporting cast, Phil Harris, Eddie Rochester Anderson was his valet, Dennis Day his singer, Don Wilson his announcer for many, many years. And got the TV in 1950, and that lasted 15 years on television. So he was truly a big star, and we're going to celebrate him by playing three radio shows that he appeared in. First is his radio show, then an episode of Suspense, and then a guest on the Burns and Allen Show. So right now, let's go back to the day before Valentine's Day, February 13th, 1949. It's called Tomorrow is Jack Benny's Birthday. It was originally sponsored by Lucky Strike, but we have removed the Lucky Strike cigarette commercials. This is heard on CBS. Part one now of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny program. Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, February 14th, is Valentine's Day, and it's also the birthday of the star of our show. So here he is, Jack Valentine Benny.
Thank you, thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, that was very nice of you to remember my birthday. How did you ever think of it?
Well, Jack, a strange thing happened last night. I ate at that Chinese restaurant you recommended.
Uh-huh. And Don, I hope you broke open one of those rice fortune cakes.
Oh, yes, I did, and the little paper said, 'Tis better to give than to receive, and Monday is Jack Benny's birthday.
And what did you bring me for a present, Don?
Well, it was too late to go shopping, so I brought you a pocket full of fried rice.
too late to go shopping. I told you to have lunch there, not dinner. Anyway, Don, I'll take the rice. There's a friend of mine getting married Wednesday. Thanks very much.
Well, tell me, Jack, how does it feel being a year older?
Don, I don't know. It seems strange to advance another year. But then, on the other hand, there's something exciting about reaching 40. Yes, sir.
Well, Jack, you may be 40, but I must say you look much younger.
Well, Don, it's nice of you to say that, but let's face it. I mean, my age is beginning to show, you know, a little wrinkle here, a gray hair there. Time marches on. Now, let's get on with the program.
Oh, wait a minute, Jack. Before we get into the show, I have a little surprise for you.
A surprise, Don?
Yes. Now, the whole audience is going to join in. All right, everybody. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jack Benny. Happy birthday to you.
Wow. Thank you, everybody. Thanks very much.
Oh, wasn't that nice, Jack?
Yes, very nice, Don,
But what?
Well, I was watching one fellow sitting in the front row, and he didn't sing at all. As a matter of fact, he had a frown on his face, and I'm just curious to know why. Oh, mister.
Me.
Yeah, would you mind coming up here on the stage for a minute?
Okay.
Now, look, Mr.
Fink, F-I-N-Q-U-E, Fink.
Well, Mr. Fink, I'm just curious to know. You were the only one who didn't sing Happy Birthday to me. Why was that?
Do you sing to me on my birthday?
No, but then how can I? I don't even know when your birthday is.
It's December the 24th, and all you hear people singing is Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle All the Way. Not one word about Fink.
Well, that's too bad. Now, look, Mr. Fink.
F-I-N-Q-U-E.
I know.
That's French.
Yes.
In Paris, it's Finke.
I don't care what it is. All I want to know is, if you've got this chip on your shoulder, why did you come in here in the first place?
Who wanted to come in? I was standing in line for the Amos and Andy show, and some guy came over and told me that they was giving away refrigerators in here.
Giving away refrigerators?
In radio, a program's either got to give you entertainment or a refrigerator. Now, where's my icebox?
You're not getting an icebox, so go sit down.
Okay. 12 programs this week, and I still ain't got a stick of furniture.
Keep quiet, please. Don, regardless of what just happened, I do appreciate...
Hello, Don.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you, Mary. It was awfully sweet of you to remember it.
Well, Jack, I must confess that I forgot all about your birthday, but a strange thing happened. Remember yesterday when you said I looked like I was gaining weight?
Yes.
Well, today as I came in the lobby of CBS, I stepped on the scale to weigh myself.
Uh-huh.
And a card came out saying, you weigh 112 pounds, you are kind of dogs, and tomorrow is Jack Benny's birthday.
No.
I couldn't believe it either, so I put in another penny, and a card came out that said, don't stand here all day, you got shopping to do.
Oh, well, did you do it?
Oh, I'll have something for you tomorrow.
Good, that's my birthday anyway. And just think, Mary, tomorrow I'll be 40.
40, eh?
Yes, 40.
Jack, let me ask you something.
What?
Many years ago, you were in vaudeville, weren't you?
Yes.
And many times you were on the same bill with Eddie Cantor.
Yes, I was.
And at that time, you and Cantor were the same age, weren't you?
Uh-huh.
Well, Jack, today Eddie Cantor admits that he's over 50. How come you're only 40?
Oh, I don't know. Just lucky, I guess. Anyway, Mary, now that I'm approaching middle age, I'll have to slow down the mad social whirl and cut down my nightlife a little, you know?
Oh, some nightlife. You have a hamburger at Simon's, squeeze the waitress's hand, and then run home and dream you're Errol Flynn.
Errol Flynn. Mary, if you're so smart, let me ask you a question. If I was born in 1909, how old would I be today?
Don't answer him, sister. He ain't giving away nothing.
You keep out of this.
Who's that?
Some guy named Fink.
F-I-N-Q.
I know. Don't pay any attention to him, Mary. There's one in every audience, you know.
By the way, Jack, my sister Babe wanted to send you a birthday card, but she didn't know your address, so she sent it to me.
Your sister Babe? Oh, have you got the card with you?
Yes, I'll read it to you. Congratulations. It's wonderful to be 40, Jack. I've been there twice, and I'm coming back.
Say, that's kind of cute.
Oh, Babe has a wonderful sense of humor.
Yeah. Remember the time she painted an extra toe on your uncle's foot, and he thought he had seven?
Wait a minute,
Mary. This is all very funny. It's very funny, but I think you've stalled long enough.
Stalled? What do you mean?
You know, every year on my birthday, you always give me a big kiss.
Oh, well, Jack, I sort of figured now that you're getting older, well, you might not be interested in kissing anymore.
Oh, I'm not, eh? Come here and I'll show you. There. How was that?
Thank you, Errol Flynn.
You said it. Now put me down.
Well, maybe he was a romantic, Lisa.
See, you don't know.
Kissing Mary Livingston there. And I think he really did because the audience reaction.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Was that he really did. So, all right, the first portion of the Jack Benny program from the day before his birthday, February 13th, 1949. And we'll get back to that episode in just a few minutes. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, yeah. Dan Long, best in the business in the booth there, our producer. And I love your selections of music, Dan. And I love how you put the old-time radio shows on the air for our listeners as well. Thanks, buddy.
It's Valentine's Day. I just think you're full of love tonight.
I am. I love you, Dan.
I love you too, Carl.
Love you, Lisa.
Gosh. Oh, gosh.
I'm feeling very lovey-dovey.
Wow,
feeling
Carl.
Lovey. Is this what it's like to be romantic?
Well, I don't know. Is this how does it feel, Carl?
Maybe I can be, you know, what's the word? Maybe I can be turned from a non-romantic to a
romantic.
You're
going to want to watch what you say.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe I can be.
Phrasing.
Yeah, maybe I can be change, you know, be better. Be a better me.
Yeah.
Right?
Great.
Let's try to make that happen.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if we can get to 1,490 likes by the end of the show.
You'll turn into a romantic?
I'm going to do something romantic on video.
You're going to turn into Cupid?
Yeah.
You're going to put wings on?
Yes. I'm going to do.
I knew it.
I'm going to shoot you with an arrow.
Ooh.
How does that feel, Roger?
All right. So if we can get to 1,490 likes, and we've gotten 20 since we asked for it, so we need 80 more. At the end of the night, we'll shoot a little video of me being romantic.
Okay,
how's that?
My mind is wandering.
And we'll put it on the Facebook page. I don't know what it's going to be yet. But we'll come up with something. But right now, let's get back to this. It's the day before Jack Benny's birthday, and February 13th, 1949, broadcast date, the conclusion of the Jack Benny program.
Thanks. I just wanted to show you that that being 40 doesn't. Oh, hello, Dennis. Hey, Dennis, you're just in time for your song.
Okay, Mr. Benny, I'm glad I got here in time. On the way down, I had to stop off at our family doctor's office and punch him in the nose.
You punched your doctor in the nose?
He had it coming. My mother told me what he did.
What?
When I was born, for no reason at all, he slapped me.
Dennis.
And my back was turned, too.
Dennis. Dennis, never mind that. Let's have your song.
Okay, but first, congratulations on your birthday.
Oh, well, it's awfully sweet of you to remember it, kid.
I never would have thought of it if you hadn't given me that ticket to the burlesque show last night.
Never mind, Dennis.
What did the burlesque show have to do with it?
Well, a girl came out to do a dance. Her bubble broke and a sign fell out saying, Monday is Jack Benny's birthday.
Dennis.
You must be popular. Boy, what applause you got.
All right, all right.
They whistled and everything.
Dennis.
What a fuss over a man's birthday.
Dennis, you found out it was my birthday. That's all that matters. Now, come on, let's have your song.
Okay. Gee, when I'm 40, I hope I don't look like him.
What did you say?
Sing, Dennis.
That's better. Go ahead. Dennis Day. Very good, Dennis. That was wonderful.
Congratulations on your birthday.
Dennis, you congratulated me already. Forget it.
I tried, but I can't get that bubble dancer out of my mind.
Well, force yourself. Say, Mary.
You know, Mr. Benny, it must be nice to have your birthday come on Valentine's Day.
Yes, kid, but there's only one thing against it. You know, so many famous people were born in the month of February. Longfellow, Lincoln, Washington. You know, it makes it hard for me to be outstanding.
I can imagine.
Of course, Of course, I don't want you to think for a minute that I'm comparing myself to a man like Washington.
Why not? Washington wore a wig, too.
Very clever, very clever. Did you make up that joke yourself, Mary?
Uh-huh.
And you, like that type of joke?
Yeah, I thought it was very funny.
I see. Hello, May Company? You can take the candle out of the window. Mary's coming home. You better watch it, sister. Another gag like that.
Hiya, Jackson. You sure look nifty, even though tomorrow you're going to be 30.
What?
Wait a minute, Phil. Nifty doesn't rhyme with 30.
I know, but it's better than breaking an old man's heart. Hiya, Liv.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, here you are, Jackson. I brought you a little birthday present.
Well, Phil, is it really too much to think that you, of all people, would remember my birthday?
Well, a funny thing happened. Last night I was in a bar and I happened to look up and I saw a little sign that said, Monday's Jack Benny's birthday.
Phil, that was written on the ceiling?
No, under the table.
I knew you'd see it.
Jack.
What?
Jack, why don't you open the present Phil gave you?
Phil's present?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Phil, this is swell.
What is it, Jack?
One glove. Phil, why in the world would you give me only one glove?
You never take your right hand out of your pocket anyway.
Now, wait a minute.
Hey, Jackson, look, all kidding aside, how old are you going to be tomorrow?
40.
Jackson, will you lay that on me again? I've been rehearsing my band and my ears are still folded.
I said I was going to be 40.
What are you talking about? You got toupees older than that.
Toupees?
And that's a factor, Max. Oh, Harris, you may not be with Columbia, but you're the gem of the ocean.
Phil, is that a natural point on your head, or are you advertising a pyramid club? You can tell some of the most awful...
Oh, Jack, it's getting kind of late. Don't you think we ought to get started with that hillbilly sketch we're going to do tonight?
I'm glad you brought that up, Don. We're not going to do that sketch. From now on, we're going to do the finer type of play like they do on dramatic shows. After 17 years, it's about time this show got a little class.
Well, Dad, if you want to class things up a little, next week I'll have the band wear tuxedos.
Phil, if you can just get them to tuck in their shirts, I'll be happy. Anyway, kids, from now on, we're going to do a higher class of comedy. The kind
that... Happy birthday, Mr. Benny.
Huh?
That bubble dance is driving me nuts.
Dennis, go sit down.
Jack, what do you want to change your program for?
Well, Don's right. Last week, you tried to get on the Ford Theater with Claudette Colbert and Vincent Price, and you know what happened. Fletcher Markle, the director, thought you were terrible.
Oh, he did, eh? Well, if Mr. Markle thought I was so terrible, why did he give me a contract to appear on the Ford Theater March 4th?
No kidding, Jackson. You going to be on the Ford Theater?
Yes, sir, on March 4th. And just wait till you hear the performance I give. It'll live. It'll sparkle. It'll bubble.
Dennis!
Forget about that girl! Anyway, kids, I've got a contract to appear on the Ford Theater March 4th, and I can't wait till I get on it.
What play are you going to do, Jack?
The Horn Blows at Midnight.
What?
You heard me. I'm going to do The Horn Blows at Midnight.
You wouldn't dare.
I wouldn't, Dave. Just wait and see.
Well, Jackson, that proves you must be at least 60.
Why?
Nobody could get that much guts in 40 years.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't care what any of you kids think. I'm going to prove once and for all that The Horn Blows at Midnight is a great story.
That's telling, Mr. Benny.
Thanks, Dennis. Did you see the picture?
Yeah, I saw it 4 years ago when I was in the service.
Oh, did the Navy show my picture to the boys?
No, to the Japs, but I snuck in.
All right, you can all say what you want to, but I'm going to do The Horn Blows at Midnight.
Now you're talking. My wife saw that picture, and it was wonderful.
It was, Mr. Fink?
Yeah, they let her in for nothing, and they gave her 4 sets of dishes.
Well, why didn't you go?
I'm holding out for an icebox.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Now, kids, getting back to the show that I'm going to do...
Oh, say, Jack, before you go any further, I think it's time for the song by the quartet.
Oh, yes, that's right. Are the sportsmen here?
Yeah. Come on in, fellas. Now, Jack, these boys want to dedicate this number to you on the happy occasion of your birthday because this song has been associated with you for years.
Well, that's very nice, Don.
Come on, fellas, take it.
Happy birthday, and be your level best. Happy birthday, and may you always be your level best.
That was wonderful, boys. Thanks very much. Say, Mary, wasn't it nice for the quartet to sing a number just... Hey, Mary, I just thought of a wonderful joke. Mary, ask me why we have quartets here in America, but in Scotland they only have quintets. Ask me that. Go ahead. That's it.
All right, Jack. Why do they only have quintets in Scotland?
Because all Scotch comes in fifths. Say, how about that one? Pretty good, huh?
Jack, did you make up that joke all by yourself?
Yeah.
And you like that joke?
I thought it was pretty clever.
You did, eh? Hello, NBC? Leave the back door open. Blue Eyes is coming home.
Mary, if you try to get even with me, it didn't work. I'm staying here at CBS till something freezes over.
It ain't gonna be no refrigerator.
Oh, Keith! I thought he left already.
Oh, say, Jack.
Yes, Don?
While the quartet was singing, this telegram came for you.
A telegram for me?
Yeah, Jack. I took the liberty of giving the boy a 25-cent tip.
Oh. Well, here's a nickel, Don, and you're at liberty to chase the boy for the other 20 cents. Give me the telegram. Thanks. Gee, it's from my sister, Florence.
What does she say?
She says, Dear Jack, I've been listening to your program, and I thought I should send you this wire immediately. You're mistaken about your age. You're not going to be 40 years old tomorrow. You're going to be... Oh, no. No, this can't be. This is awful.
Well, Jack, how old does your sister say you're going to be tomorrow?
39. Oh, my goodness, this is embarrassing. But my sister Florence ought to know. I guess instead of being born in 1909, it was 1910.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. How could you be born in 1910? I happen to know that in 1917, you were in the Navy.
Well, of course I was in the Navy. You think I'm a slacker?
Well, how old were you then?
Seven.
Seven? How could
Mary,
you
Mary, don't argue with me. They measured me for a uniform, cut off my curls at the same time.
But, Jack, if you were only 7 years old, how could you possibly get in the Navy?
I owned a battleship, and shut up. Anyway, this thing has got me puzzled. I'm going to call Rochester and have him look up my birth certificate. My sister Florence says I'm 39. I think I'm 40. I'm going to find out.
Say, Mabel, what is it, Gaitchild? Mr. Benny's line is flashing.
Yeah, I wonder what King Midas wants now.
I'll plug in and find out. Yes, Mr. Benny. Yes, I'll call your house immediately. He wants I should get him Rochester.
You know what, Mabel?
What?
I never saw a man like Mr. Benny. He has such a split personality. On the radio, he's one type of person, and in real life, he's an entirely different type of person.
Yeah, and I don't like either one of them.
Well, I like him. But you know what? Last week, he tried to make me jealous by going out with another girl.
Was she cute?
Cute. Eh. You should have seen her. Buttons and bow legs.
So what? You're bow-legged.
I am not.
You are, too. When you wear white stockings, you look like the O in Honest John.
All right. At least I'm commercial.
Operator. Gertrude, get me my home.
I'm trying. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Well, you girls ought to know. You helped build it.
For this, they paid $2 million.
Never mind. Now, please ring my home.
Okay. I'm ringing it.
Smart Alec Gertrude. Takes you out. She takes you out to dinner once. She thinks she owns you. Oh, well.
Mr. Benny's residence, star, stage, radio, and silent pictures.
Rochester, it's me.
Oh, hello, boy.
Look, what took you so long to answer the phone?
Well, tomorrow's your birthday, and I was out in the kitchen finishing your cake.
The cake?
Yeah, you ought to see it, boss. Across the top in whipped cream, I wrote, Happy Birthday.
Well, that's nice, Rochester.
By the way, how many peas in happy?
Two.
Uh-oh.
Oh, so you better add one.
Add one? I better cross one out. I got three.
You can do that later. Now, Rochester, here's why I called you. I don't know what to do. I thought tomorrow was going to be my 40th birthday. But I just got a wire from my sister, and she says I'm going to be 39.
Well, don't argue with her, boss. Grab it.
Rochester, I got to be honest with myself. Now, I want you to look at my birth certificate and tell me the date on it.
Your birth certificate?
Yeah, do you know where it is?
It's right here on the desk.
What's my birth certificate doing on the desk?
You got it out the other day when you applied for your old age pension.
Oh, I just did that for a gag.
Well, they must be laughing. Your first check came today.
Rochester, stop making things up. Now, look at my birth certificate.
I'm looking at it.
Now, in the space where it says date of birth, what's there?
A hole.
A hole in the paper?
Yeah, we erased it once too often.
Oh, well, then there's nothing I can do, and I'll have to take my sister's word for it.
I guess so, boss. Your sister must be right.
Yep, I'm 39. Goodbye, Rochester.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
What are you laughing at?
Are we devils?
You and me?
No, me and your sister.
Yeah, yeah. Goodbye, Rochester. Goodbye. Well, come on, Mary. The car's right around the corner. I'll drive you home.
Okay.
You know, Mary, that was a pretty good program we just did, but I think...
Hey, Benny. Benny.
Huh? Oh, it's you, Mr. Fink.
Yeah, don't you know some program I can go on and win a refrigerator?
No, I don't. Come on, Mary.
Well, I'm going to get a refrigerator even if I have to buy one.
Well, I don't care if... Buy one? Get in the car, mister.
Jack!
Let him sit in front, Mary. It's more comfortable. Good night, folks.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I hope you enjoyed the Jack Benny program. Broadcast date of February 13th, 1949. He's confused if it was his 39th birthday or 40th birthday. Great episode. Originally sponsored by Lucky Strike. We removed all of the Lucky Strike commercials. Great cast. Jack Benny, Mel Blanc, Mary Livingston, Dennis Day, Phil Harris, the sportsman. Bea Benaderet. You heard her as Gertrude, the operator on that. That's the voice of Betty Rubble on the Flintstones. All right, let's take a break here, and then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater. All right, 12:08 in the morning, and it is the now 15th of February. Good morning, Lisa Wolf.
Good morning, Carl Amari.
Good morning, Mike Estella.
Morning.
My executive producer, and good morning, Dan Long, our producer.
Good morning.
So we are here to play classic radio shows and to celebrate Jack Benny. His birthday. He was, you know, one of the greatest entertainers of all time, and he could do it all. He can do drama, he could do comedy, he could do mystery shows, and we're going to hear him on sort of a drama mystery on suspense from 1954, and I think you're going to really like this. He appeared on suspense three or four times throughout the run of suspense, and then you're going to hear him on a great comedy as a guest star on the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show. And, you know, George Burns and Jack Benny, Lisa, were best friends in real life. And they appeared on each other's shows a lot. And we have a great episode for you from November 2nd of 1943. But before all of that, we're going to play our sponsor segment, which is Cat's Pride Celebrity Scoop. Dum, da-dum,
da-dum, da-dum, da-dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as the White Queen in the upcoming adventure fantasy Alice Through the Looking Glass, the sequel to the 2010 film Alice in Wonderland.
All right. The number to call if you can tell us who this celebrity is 312-981-7200. What will they win, Lisa Wolf?
They will win a pair of tickets to Mind Over Chicago with Mark Salem.
All right.
Apollo Theater, Chicago.
Apollo Theater. All right. So here's a hint. You'll hear her now in the scene from 2015's The Intern.
Oh, thanks. But you don't have to. I can open the door. Okay, so this shouldn't take more than an hour. But if you can't stay here, I'll call Becky, and then she'll find you, and then you can just pull up.
All right. I'll be here.
All right. If you can tell me who that actress is, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this short break.
You are listening to the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
Oh, thanks, but you don't have to. I can open the door. Okay, so this shouldn't take more than an hour, but if you can't stay here, I'll call Becky, and then she'll find you, and then you can just pull up.
All right, I'll be here.
We have Sue from Barrington on the line. Hi, Sue.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you? You're still wide awake with us.
I am. I'm totally a night person. I love your program.
You know, me too. And it's hard to fall asleep with Jack Benny. He will keep you wide awake. Can you tell me who that celebrity is?
Yes, it's Anne Hathaway.
You are absolutely right, the beautiful Anne Hathaway. And you are lucky. You have won 2 tickets to Mind Over Chicago with Mark Salem, the world's foremost mentalist and purveyor of mind games. He's got a great interactive show. It's running right now at the newly renovated Apollo Theater Chicago through March 27th. And you can get more information about the show at apollochicago.com. Sue, thank you so much. I think you're going to love the show.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I am looking forward to it.
Oh, good. Let us know what you think, okay? It's a good family show, all ages.
Okay, sounds great.
Take care.
Thank you, Sue. Appreciate
great.
It.
You're welcome.
We enjoy our talking to our listeners, and thanks for tuning in, Sue. And we want to ask our listeners for a favor, right? We're asking our listeners for a favor. Between now and 2 a.m., we're trying to get to 1,490 likes on our Facebook page. And if we get to that, I have to post a video of me doing something romantic. Huh?
Yeah, that's exciting.
I don't know what it is yet. I have to come up with something. Since I'm not romantic, I might need some suggestions as to what I could do that's romantic.
Well, we need some more likes first. So,
okay.
You know.
Where are we at on
We're
the likes department?
1416.
All right, 1416. I think I'm in good shape. I don't think we're going to get to 1,490.
All right. Well, maybe if people share our page with other people. We'll
so how do you go to Facebook and how do you like us, Mike?
You go to Facebook by typing www.facebook.com and then you can look up WGN Radio Theater.
All right. So please like us. If we get to 1,490 likes by the end of the night, there's a post going up of me on video doing something romantic.
And we're open to suggestions as to what that is.
Well, yeah, let me know. Okay, so it's time now. Well, you know what? Could you do this live read, Lisa
I
Wolf?
Sure can.
And then we can get into suspense.
Yes, are you looking for a luxury apartment in the northwest suburbs? Riverside Plaza, located in the heart of downtown Algonquin, is exquisitely designed, from the solid bamboo flooring to the European kitchen design. Filled with every imaginable convenience, Riverside Plaza features a club lounge, event room, and fitness center, and is conveniently located near transportation, shopping, and dining. To learn more, call John at 224-268-6343. That's 224-268-6343, or visit RiversideLux.com. That's LUXE.com. Riverside Plaza, where luxury and beauty come to life.
Okay, thank you very much. It's time now for Jack Benny, who is the man of the show. We're celebrating his birthday, and he is starring on an episode of Suspense. This was a mystery series, and it was conceived as a potential radio vehicle for Alfred Hitchcock to direct. You know, in between his filming movies, they thought, you know what, he could direct a radio series, and CBS was the top network at the time, and they thought they could lure Alfred Hitchcock to the microphones. They came up with this idea. It didn't work out. He did direct the pilot, but he was just too busy to do the series. It ran on CBS from 1942 all the way to 1962, and it was considered the best mystery drama series of the golden age of radio. It was billed as radio's outstanding theater of thrills, and it had the biggest names in Hollywood as its stars, as you're going to hear right now with Jack Benny, starring in The Face is Familiar. This is a broadcast from January 18th, 1954. Also in the cast, you'll hear Sheldon Leonard. Sheldon Leonard, Lisa. He's in this cast. It's sponsored by Autolite. It's heard on CBS. Part one now of Suspense.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Jack Benny in tonight's presentation of Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents the story of a successful bank robbery, including the astounding history of the unhappy man who perpetrated the crime. It's called The Face is Familiar. Our star, in his first dramatic appearance of the season, Mr. Jack Benny. And now, Autolite presents transcribed The Face is Familiar, starring Mr. Jack Benny, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
See, I still can't understand why they picked me, of all people. Me, of all people. That's why it's so hard to believe. That it all happened, I mean. But it did. It really did. Just because I like to go to the railroad station, walk around, look at the trains, study faces. I never forget a face. I never forget a train, either. But it's easier to forget a face. But a matter of fact, I remember some faces it would be a lot better for me to forget. Like Harry Edmonds' face, for instance. That's the day it all started. The day I saw Harry Edmonds way across on the other side of the terminal. That's a station. He was talking to a big fellow. Harry's face I remembered right away. I never saw the big fellow before.
Better get going, Harry.
But you can't pull off the job.
I stuck up a bank before.
Yeah, sure, and they'd spot you in a minute you walked in.
I know you, too. This is your hometown.
Well, sure. Neither one of us is right.
Let the boss decide. Come on.
I thought about it on the train down. We need somebody new.
We're not splitting this take with anybody else. It goes three ways now.
Look, if we have to, we have to. And if we wait too long, we gotta let the whole thing go until next month.
Then we wait.
Not for me. This town is too hot for me. Somebody is liable to recognize me.
Yoo-hoo! Harry! Harry Edmund!
Who's that?
Where?
Over there, some guy calling you.
Harry, Harry Edmonds, you old son of a gun.
Brush this guy.
Well, well. Good old Harry Edmonds.
You got me mixed up with somebody else, mister.
No. No, I haven't. I know who you are.
Yeah?
Harry Edmonds. You used to live on 12th Street and 2nd Avenue.
What city?
This city. Here. Don't you remember me, Harry?
Can't say as I do, so long.
Harry! Oh, Harry Edmonds! Harry! Hey, Harry, no kidding. You remember me, don't you? Seriously, Harry, you remember Pinky Smith? He had a wart on his finger. And Alan Davenport. He had a birthmark on his neck. Well, I'm Tom Jones. I have nothing. I'm clean.
Brush him, get rid of him.
No, wait a minute. I think we got our answer.
I
think we got the engine pay to handle some of our bank business.
Harry, try to remember. Go ahead now. Try to remember.
Yeah, 12th Street and 2nd Avenue.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I used to live around there somewhere, but I still can't...
Let me give you a hint.
Go ahead.
Remember Gordon's candy store on the corner? And remember the great bunch of guys who used to hang out there?
Yeah.
And remember those pesky kids who used to tag along, nagging, saying, "Let us in. Can we come too?" Always pesting. Always trying to horn in. But one of them was me, Tom Jones. Remember me now, Harry?
What'd you say your name was again?
Jones. Tom Jones.
The name sounds very familiar.
We grew up together.
Yeah. Well, what are you doing these days?
Oh, a little bit of everything. And you?
Banking.
Oh, money, eh?
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice feel. Well, I've got to go look at the people. It was good talking over old times with you, Harry.
Hey, come on.
No, wait a minute. Look, you mind waiting a minute? What's your name again?
Tom Jones. Remember?
Oh, yeah, Tom. Yeah, well, wait a minute.
Well, I'm kind of busy. Lots of appointments this afternoon.
Oh, I'd like talking over old times with you, Tom. Maybe we could have a drink and dinner.
Well...
On me.
Oh, well, yeah.
Good, except that Joe has an appointment here. Joe, couldn't you break it? Wait here a second.
Tom Jones.
Tom, yeah. Joe, come here. Let me talk to you a second.
What?
Now I know I got the answer. I know I found the pigeon who's going to do it for us.
Let the boss figure that out.
I tell you, I got it figured. Look at that guy.
Yeah.
He is it.
Him. He don't look like nothing.
Right, he's nothing. Isn't that what we want? Nobody that anybody ever saw before. Nobody that anybody would ever think of looking at twice.
Job's ready.
And if we don't pull it this afternoon, we lose another whole month, so come on. Oh, Joe can make it. He is going to join us. Joe, I forgot to introduce you. Have you met
It's Jones, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
Tom Jones.
Tom Jones, yeah. Well, Tom, meet Joe, and don't get sore. As a kid, I grew up with Joe. We're going to have a great time talking over old times, you know, Second Avenue. That's right, and your name is Tom Jones.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I must admit it, it is a difficult name to remember because it's so common. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
Oh, certainly be nice talking over old times.
Oh, yeah, I haven't talked over old times in a long time.
Well, well. Harry Edmund.
Yes, sir, and good old,
Tom.
Tom, yeah. Better get started.
Where to?
Want you to meet another old friend of mine.
Harry must have been doing very well. Very well. I mean, for a man in the money game. He had a brand new sedan with real leather upholstery. I know it was real leather because that used to be my game. Leather upholstery. Not much money in it, at least not for me. But I didn't let Harry know that. No, sir. What if he ran into another old friend from Second Avenue and the other old friend said, "How's old Tom Jones doing?" And Harry said, "Not very well. Not very well at all." Well, that can hurt a man once it gets around.
And then what happened?
Well, when I came back to the main office, I said I want 40% commission from now on.
Really?
But, of course, that would have made me a partner, the boss said.
Uh-huh.
After all, Harry, I'm not the kind of a guy who can be cooped up in an office. I've been a road man. The lure of the open road.
Oh, yeah.
The call of the open streets. See, I'm an outdoor type of salesman. Something of the pioneer kind, you know? Pioneer?
Yeah, pioneer, yeah.
You see, there are those salesmen who are made for offices and those of us who get out and break the plane, so to speak.
Tom, you surprise me.
Oh, I could keep going for hours, Harry. Literally hours.
Yeah, well, why don't you hold on to some of it till we have dinner?
Oh, sure, sure. Hey, I bet you never expected that pesky little kid who always used to hang around to get so big in his field.
Oh, I certainly didn't. We could sure use somebody like you in our outfit, Tom.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, now, that's very flattering, but I'm not sure it's right for me. I'd have
I bet I could get you, I don't know, maybe $10,000 a year to start with.
$10,000 a year, you say?
Yeah.
Well, I'd sure like to think about it.
Well, you talk to my boss. Maybe he can convince you.
I'm willing to listen, Harry. I'm willing to listen, all right.
So this is Jack Benny in a radio drama mystery on suspense. It's great. We you know, we're used to hearing Jack Benny on the Jack Benny program or in a dramatization of one of his movies like The Horn Blows at Midnight or as a guest on Burns and Allen, which we'll have a little later. But very rarely do we hear him in a dramatic program, and he does a great job. He's a terrific actor. And this is called The Face is Familiar from January 18th, 1954. On the series Suspense, and we will get back to that in just a few moments. Lisa, could you tell everyone out there about our Cat's Pride drawing?
Yes, every single month we like to give away an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, and we do that because the CEO of the company comes right here to WGN and picks a lucky winner. And in order to be considered as a winner, you need to send in a picture of you and your cat with your name, your cat's name, city and state, and send it to Cat's Pride Photo @gmail.com. Email that over to us. Michael posted on Facebook eventually. And maybe you will be the lucky winner of an entire year supply of kitty litter, which is a very valuable prize.
What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I would love to have that.
I would love to have that.
And you know what? If you don't win this month, you can submit next month, and we're doing this
Every single month. He comes in the last weekend of the month.
Yeah, Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, comes in here.
And you know what's really fun about it? You can watch it. If you go to WGNRadio.com, you can watch him actually pull the name out of the hat and see who the winner is. And we had our first winner back in our studio to tell us what he thought of this product since he had not used it prior. So it was kind of fun to communicate with our winners.
Yeah, we could use some more people sending it in. So do that. If you get a chance, take a picture of your kitty cat, send it in. I mean, if you want to be in the picture, that's great. And we like to sometimes hear what you have to say about your cat, the little stories. It's fun too, right?
Yes.
When they tell us a little bit about their cat, and maybe it was a rescue cat or something like that. All right, let's take a quick break, and then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, here we go.
Oh, Dan, thank
here's
you.
Here's my life in a bubble right here. Disco Carl. I had the, definitely had the whole...
You know what? I'll do you a favor here. Mm-hmm. If you are willing to dance to this, I will take a video and post it.
Dance to this song?
Yeah, you know, like John
Travolta. As my romantic thing? No.
No, just for fun. We want to see you.
I can't dance.
Yeah, you
I
can.
Would look like Elaine from Seinfeld.
No, I think you could do it. You'd do a good job.
But I had this album, let me tell you. I had this album.
We all did.
And Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, I had that. Yeah. Changed my whole life. I was sort of a... I don't know. I was sort of an introvert, and then this movie came out, and I wanted to get out there. I wanted to dance. I wanted to be Disco Carl.
So what happened? I want to see you dance.
I don't know. And like my hair, I don't know what happened to my hair back then. It was kind of like an afro. It was really weird. Have you seen these pictures of me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I believe we posted some on Facebook.
It's the weirdest thing. And then I had the platform shoes and the bell-bottom pants and the gold chain, and I went out there to Stay Out Discotheque. That's where it was called. I don't remember what town it was in. Me and my friend Vince Lombardi, we'd go to Stay Out Discotheque and, try to pick up girls.
Those were the days, huh?
Yeah, I'll tell you, man. I'd like to go back to those days. Just couldn't we get into a time machine, just go back and just spend one day of our past? That's a TV show right there. Get in a time machine and go back and spend one day. And know what you know now.
That's what I was going to add to it. I would like to go back, but I'd like to go back with the knowledge that I have today.
Well, you have a lot of knowledge.
That's true.
Those two master's
degrees,
those two brains, the bulbous head of yours.
Because I used to be shy.
Yeah, I know. Lisa has showed me pictures of you as a kid.
Yeah.
And you're really cute, of course, but I could tell you're kind of shy, like...
Kind of your body language.
You
know what's so ironic, Dan, you'll enjoy this, is that I used to hate taking pictures.
Yeah, now.
Now
oh,
I'm like, come on, Dan, crazy. Let's take a picture. Hurry up.
I think everyone goes through a time where they don't want to be in pictures.
Yeah, like no pictures.
The most photographed woman on the face of the earth, Lisa Wolf. But Dan is telling me it's time to get back to Suspense from January 18th, 1954. Here's the conclusion to The Face is Familiar, starring Jack Benny.
The business Harry was in was mighty successful, if the home of his boss was any indication. The beautiful big yellow house with a lovely green front door, and you could tell it was the home of a man who had worked his way up and knew what to do with what he had. Inside, it was very homey. Two fireplaces in the living room that looked like they were burning. A beautiful plaid carpet that must have been a real Oriental, and they wanted me in the business. Me, Tom Jones, of all people.
Brandy, Mr. Jones?
No, thanks. Spoil my dinner.
Cigar?
Well...
All clear Havana?
Oh, I can see that. I can always tell a good cigar just by looking at it. I know cigars, faces, train.
You're a very well-informed man, Mr. Jones.
Well, you're kind of unusual yourself.
Why?
You remember my name.
Don't most people?
Most people don't even recognize me. People I've known for years.
Is that so?
Now, don't get me wrong. It's an asset in my business. See, people who tell me no when I try to sell them something say, come back next year. But I come back next week, and they don't even remember I was in the first time. Believe me, a face like mine doesn't come along every day.
I like you, Tom. Mind if I call you Tom?
Certainly not, Mr.
Just call me Boss. Everybody calls me that, especially people I like. And I like you.
I like you, too, boss.
Then you're interested in coming into the organization?
Oh, I might give it a whirl. Let's put it that way.
I wouldn't want it any other way. A trial for both of us.
And the pay Harry mentioned?
Oh, I told him a starting salary, boy.
Let's talk about that at dinner. Come on, we'd better get started.
Isn't a 2:45 in the afternoon a little early for dinner?
We have a few errands to do. Excuse us just a minute?
Oh, of course. Of course, sure.
You like the idea?
Perfect. Nobody will ever remember him. I couldn't even describe to you what he looks like. Where's the satchel?
Right here, boss.
I thought you put the note inside.
Well, we wanted you to okay it first. Here, read it.
You are being covered by a gun from two different places in this bank. Do not send an alarm or you will be killed. Put $50,000 in the satchel. That's it. And a note.
How will you get them to take it in?
I always come up with the answer, don't I?
Yeah, sure, boss.
Come on, let's go.
Oh, we talked it over, and the boss likes you a lot.
For the last time, it's Jones. Tom Jones.
Yeah, well, I was Heaven's only kidding, best. Tom.
yeah.
Well, all right.
We better get started.
Where to first?
To the bank, Tom.
That's very kind, but completely unnecessary. I don't need my salary in advance.
I told you, this is a high-class outfit.
To the bank. Gee.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Jack Benny in The Face is Familiar, tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Gee, isn't it funny how you wait a long time for your ship to come in? There I was, watching a train, and my ship came in. Just because I recognized Harry's face. Well, you gotta keep on your toes in this world. Because when opportunity knocks at your door, you gotta be all set to open it. Well, anyway, I'd opened the door, and before I knew it, we were downtown. The bank already? I hardly noticed we were moving.
Do you mind waiting a few minutes?
Well, not at all.
I like you, Tom.
Well, let me tell you, I like you, too.
I'm certainly glad Harry met you after all these years.
And I'm glad, too. I like Harry.
And I like you, too, Tom.
Tom, yeah. You know, I feel like I've known all of you. Just all of you since Second Avenue. Boss, I even feel like I grew up with you.
That's very nice of you, Tom. Who's going to get the payroll?
Is that why we stopped at the bank? You pick up your own payroll?
Sure, why not?
For how much?
$50,000.
$50,000? And you pick it up yourself?
It's my money, and I worked hard for it. It's my way. And if you don't like my way of doing things, Tom...
No, not at all. I've always felt, personally, I've always felt that people should pick up their own money. Always. Especially if it's $50,000 or more. Besides, armored cars haven't been doing too well in the past few years.
I like the way you think.
Well, maybe we should all pick up the payroll.
Wouldn't that make us a little too conspicuous?
Yeah.
And besides, I want to discuss you a little more. And I think you'll work out.
Fine. Say, maybe Harry can pick up the money while we talk.
I wanted to discuss you with Harry.
Oh. Well, how about Joe?
Joe picked it up last time. I don't like the same man going in twice in a row.
See, not Harry, not Joe, or you. Me?
I hate to ask you. You're not really part of my organization yet, and I don't like to see a man work unless he gets paid for it.
Well, I'd be happy to. Just delighted. Besides, I'm going to have to get used to large sums of money, and I guess there's no time to start like the present.
Just take this satchel up to the window and give it to the teller. The withdrawal slip is inside. The teller will know exactly what to do.
Fine. Oh, sure, of course.
Now, boss, wait until he's in.
Did you call me?
No. Go right ahead.
My, it's certainly crowded. So many people waiting in line.
Yeah.
People certainly must be doing well these days.
Yeah.
I'm very busy myself, you know.
So?
I have some friends waiting for me outside.
Good.
I was just wondering, if you weren't in a hurry, would you mind...
No.
Oh. These lines certainly move slowly, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, he certainly took long enough at that window.
Yeah.
I hate people who dawdle over money. Don't you?
I guess.
Your transaction isn't going to take very long, is it?
Nope.
Good. That big bag you're carrying had me worried.
Yeah?
What sort of business are you in?
Penny vending machines.
Pennies? All those are pennies?
Something wrong with pennies?
Oh, no. No, of course not. Excuse me. I think I'll try that other line. My, it's certainly crowded.
I beg your pardon?
I say it's crowded. For such a big bank. Wouldn't you think they'd have more tellers?
I certainly do.
I mean, one, say, to handle pennies and so forth, you know. Well, there's one gone. I like the way that teller works.
I suppose.
Will your transaction take long?
Oh, no.
Good. I'm in a terrible hurry. Some friends are waiting for me on the outside.
Next, please.
Yes, madam.
Well, in 1950, my husband opened an account in his name, a savings account. Mm-hmm. Then he transferred it to a checking account. Then we split up that money and opened a joint savings account and joint checking account. But we found out we didn't really close the other savings account. Of course, we thought we did, so some of our checking deposits have been...
Look, don't you think you should see the manager instead of taking this teller's time?
I'll handle this, sir, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, not at all.
Madam, would you please take this up with the manager?
But...
If you don't mind, may I get to the window?
Well.
Yes?
The withdrawal slip is in the bag.
Oh, a withdrawal? Next window, please.
Now, just a minute. You in there, tell her. Open up.
Yes, sir?
See, I've been moving from line to line, and I insist you handle this.
I'm sorry, sir. I can't violate the rules for anyone.
But this is a very important matter, you know. This isn't just some piddling sum.
How much are you withdrawing, sir?
I believe it's $50,000.
Oh, you're quite right. That is a lot of money. Now, will you please remove this bag and go to the next window?
Well, all right. At least the lines are getting shorter.
Yes, they are.
Wouldn't you think a bank this size could afford a few extra tellers?
How do you mean?
Like, say, one kind of teller to handle only pennies and another kind to handle matters of $50,000 or more.
I beg your pardon?
I suppose that sounds a little strange, but you'd be surprised how it would speed things up.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it needs it. Yeah, I came in feeling fine, just fine. Now I'm nervous from waiting.
I'll be through in a minute.
Well, it's terribly important. You see, some people are waiting for me outside.
Next, please.
Here you are.
20, 30, 40. Thank you. Next, please.
Yes. Oh, wait, just a minute.
Something wrong?
I'll be back in a minute. My friends are calling me. Did you fellas call me?
No. Go back.
But someone honked the horn. I saw somebody else wave.
Go back. A mistake. Just turn around and go back. We'll be here.
Oh, sure. Sure, of course. All right, sir. Here's the bag.
Your deposit slip, sir.
Withdrawal. The slip is on the inside. From time to time.
Is this a joke, mister?
Listen, you. I've had enough. Now, you can read, can't you?
Yes, sir.
Then don't dawdle. Do what it says. That's fine. That's much better.
Yes, sir.
Come on, come on, come on.
Go get it. Well, here's the money.
Give me that.
Hey! Hey, Harry! Where are you going? Stop! What are you doing? Harry!
Got him. All right, Jenkins, take some rope down there and tie their hands.
I set off the alarm as fast as I could, officer.
Oh, come on, let's get down there. You can show me which one of those guys held you up.
All right, officer. I'm sure I'll remember it.
Hey, this is terrible.
Step back, buddy.
But it was me.
It was you what?
It was me, officer. Look, I took the bag in and I didn't know.
Are you kidding?
Tell her. Tell her, look at me.
I am. You must be nuts.
No, I'm not nuts. It's me. Don't you recognize my face? Look at it.
Nothing like it.
What did the fellow look like?
Well, he had a lean face. Or slightly fat. No, lean. Oh. And brown eyes. No. Oh, gosh, I don't know.
It was me. Look, blue eyes, see? Me. And I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry.
Now beat it, bud. Now, think hard.
I am, but it was the most nondescript face I've ever seen.
Well, that's pretty nasty, if you ask me.
Tell me what you remember.
I can.
I was standing there. I just counted out $40.
And I walked up to the window.
Oh, it wasn't you. This fellow was about 6 feet tall. Or 5 and a half.
5 feet 8. I'm 5 feet 8.
And he had a real menacing look.
No, I was smiling. See, look. Look, I'm smiling. Look. Now do you remember?
Now, look here. Get out of here before I run you in.
Yes, sir.
Well, I remember now. He was 6 feet tall. He had red hair. He was carrying a gun. He had a handkerchief over the lower part of his face. And he carried a cane.
Well, that's what happened. That was an eyewitness account of a bank robbery from the man who did it. Here I walked into the bank, robbed them of $50,000, and didn't even know I was doing it. Imagine. And nobody recognized me. They didn't know my face. You know, I bet I could walk into another bank and do the same thing. Nah, I better not.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Jack Benny. Next week, a story based on fact. The dramatization of one man's deadly way of earning his living. All he needed was the morning newspaper, a telephone, and a gun. It's called Want Ad. Our star, Mr. Robert Cummings. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is transcribed and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The Face is Familiar was written for Suspense by Arthur Ross. In tonight's story, Sheldon Leonard was heard as Harry and Clayton Post as Joe. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Herb Butterfield, Gene Wood, Hi Averback, and Stan Farrar. The Jack Benny Show may be heard every Sunday on the CBS Radio Network.
That's Harlow Wilcox there. He was the longtime announcer of Fibber McGee and Molly. And you heard him mention the name Elliot Lewis as the producer-director of Suspense at this time. Elliot Lewis was a big producer-director of radio, but he was also a great actor. He was on the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show. He played Frankie Remley. He was also on the Jack Benny show for many, many years. And because Elliot Lewis was a comedian actor, he respected comedian actors like Jack Benny, like Red Skelton, Bob Hope, these people that were considered a comedian. Well, he liked to give them a chance to spread their wings and act on Suspense. And so he was always casting them against type, you know, giving them these dramatic roles. And there's a lot of times that you see comedians in dramatic roles during the Elliot Lewis-directed run of Suspense. There you have The Face is Familiar, January 18th, 1954. I hope you enjoyed that. It's heard on CBS. Let's take a quick break. Then it's back here to the WGN Radio Theater. All right, there's our familiar theme song. That means it's hour three of the WGN Radio Theater because it is 8 minutes after one in the morning, so it can't be hour two or hour one.
But See? It's the same theme song.
You like that, Lisa?
Yes,
I figured that out.
That was good.
You know, I don't have two master's degrees, but
that
I can figure
quick.
Out some stuff once
Great.
In a while.
I count on you for that.
You know, right, Mike?
Yes.
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 Good
don't
answer.
Don't need two master's degrees to
figure,
that
some
out.
Stuff out every once
Mike's,
in a while.
Mike's a yes man.
Dan, where's the college? Let's see, how many college people we have? Everybody here went to college, right? Mike, where did you go to college?
I graduated from Columbia College.
Where you teach now?
Yes.
Mike teaches there. Lisa went to like 12 different colleges. She has, what? How many master's degrees? Two master's degrees. Tulane. You went to Tulane, right?
I did, in New Orleans.
And where else?
I went to University of Illinois at Champaign
right.
and
yeah.
University of Illinois at Chicago.
Right. I went to the College of Hard Knocks. And then, Dan, where did you go to college?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. I took his line. Well, you know, when I was in college, you know Lisa, right?
Back in the early 1800s,
I studied
that?
To be an astronaut.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, right?
I won't
Dan,
give it away.
You know this one, right? Studied to be an astronaut, right?
Dan,
would that
give us
be
the punchline.
Perhaps because you were taking up space.
That's right.
Ding,
exactly.
Ding, 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 ding,
we need a little, you know,
ding-dong.
We need the rim shot there. This hour, we are going to celebrate or continue to celebrate Jack Benny's birthday. He's a guest on the Burns and Allen show from November 2nd, 1943. But before we tune into Burns and Allen, let's play our sponsor segment.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
Now You See Me 2 is an upcoming caper thriller, the sequel to the 2013 film Now You See Me, and stars this actor as a tech prodigy who seeks to bring the Four Horsemen to justice.
The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse? Those guys?
Yes.
All right, so the number to call, 312-981-7200. What will they win, Lisa Wolf?
They will win two tickets to Mind Over Chicago with Mark Salem playing right now at the Apollo Theater Chicago.
All right, two tickets are available to you if you can name this celebrity. Here's a hint. You'll hear him here in a scene from 2011's Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
It seems, despite your exhaustive defensive strategies, you still have a bit of a security problem.
I wish I could do an accent like that.
Well, you know? His is natural.
Yes. Well, that's right. He's not having to make an accent like that.
No,
this
is natural origin.
So we should go over to London and do this show. We'd sound really smart.
Wouldn't we sound
yeah,
good there?
Yeah, they sound so smart. Maybe we would sound smart over there.
Yeah, maybe we wouldn't sound smart
maybe
there.
Maybe not. All right, so tell us who that celebrity is. Call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back with Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
It seems, despite your exhaustive defensive strategies, you still have a bit of a security problem.
So we took Dan took a call off the line. He spoke with Dan from Schaumburg, who knew the answer. So I will say it for him. This is Daniel Radcliffe. That was Harry Potter, and he will be in the upcoming Now You See Me 2. And Dan has won a pair of tickets to Mind Over Chicago with Mark Salem, the world's foremost mentalist and purveyor of mind games, running right now at Apollo Theater Chicago. For more information on the show, go to apollochicago.com.
You know, if you go to that show, Lisa, and he picked you out of the audience, it would be twice as hard for him to do a mind game on you.
Because my brains are, like, enormous.
No, because you have two brains.
Well, that would be an exciting
experiment. You went to
Tulane,
you have two brains, and you have two master's degrees.
I'm going to try that out, so, see if that's true.
So Mark Allen, he'd have a hard time with...
Mark Salem.
Oh, Mike Salem, sorry. I'm thinking of Marcus Allen because I'm watching that O.J. Simpson thing.
Oh.
Are you watching that on FX?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wow.
I watched it already.
No, it's a 10-part thing. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I watched the first one, and I didn't like
it. It was fantastic.
I know everybody loves it.
Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J.
I thought he was just...
Some great actors in that. John Travolta.
I don't like him in this. I'm sorry.
Well, he's playing kind of the... playing Kardashian.
I love John Travolta. I do not love him in this particular role.
Yeah.
It's just me.
It's some good actors in this. Love it. I'm loving it. All right.
He's Shapiro, right?
Yeah, he's Shapiro. Is that what I... Yeah. Who did I say? Kardashian?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
no, what's his name? The guy from Friends... Is Kardashian.
David Schwimmer.
David Schwimmer.
Okay. I get them mixed up sometimes.
Yeah, it's all the same.
I transpose them sometimes.
Your brain transposes
I guess
them sometimes.
So. All right, time for the Burns and Allen show. I won't transpose George Burns and Gracie Allen. One is which on here. They were a comedy duo. They started on radio in 1932, ran until 1950 on radio, 18 seasons, then made the transition to television. They also made movies. They were really married in real life. And then when Gracie passed away, George kind of tried to go on without her. You know, doing comedy didn't work. But then he got into the movie business, did the Sunshine Boys, and, of course, won a Best Actor, Supporting Actor Oscar for that. And then went on to star in the Oh God films, and he worked all the way till he passed away at the age of 100. And you know, George Burns is who got me in this business, Lisa Wolf. I carry a picture of me and George George Burns. He was the first person to license me the Burns and Allen show. He got me, he helped me, he mentored me. He used to take me to the Beverly Wilshire Country Club, introduced me to all kinds of actors. Red Skelton introduced me to Benny had passed away, but he introduced me to Milton Berle and Red Skelton and Jerry Lewis and so many great actors that licensed me these shows. And I have definitely a debt to pay to George Burns. And it's always fun to hear him. And on this show, he has special guest Jack Benny. Let's go back to November 2nd, 1943, part one of the Burns and Allen show.
This is Bill Goodwin, speaking for Lever Brothers, makers of Swan, the new white floating soap that's pure as fine Castiles. Well, it's Tuesday night again, time for another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, our guests, Jack Benny, Jimmy Cash, Felix Mills and his orchestra, and the Swantet. And now, meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Well, it's morning in the Burns home, and George is just coming downstairs to leave for the office.
Good morning, dear.
Good morning, darling. Look what the postman just brought you. A present from Pat O'Brien.
Oh. I'll bet Pat is sorry he started that rumor about me being a juggler. Open the package, dear.
All right.
I met him yesterday, and I told him a few jokes. I guess that convinced him I was a comedian. What are you laughing about? What's in the package?
A set of Indian clubs.
Next time I get my hands on that
George. Before long, everybody will know that you're not a juggler. They'll know you for what you really are.
And what is that?
Well, a singer, of course.
Oh, sure.
I wrote to our sponsor and suggested that you sing on our program every week.
That's the 12th time.
Yeah, but this time he answered.
Say, that's a good sign. Open the letter.
Wait till Bing Crosby hears you sing. you retire and start to raise a family.
Now, Gracie, I'm not better than Crosby. As good, maybe, but, well, open the letter. What does the sponsor say?
Believe me, there are plenty of other big programs that would like to have George Burns as a singer.
Gracie, the letter, open it. Well?
George, what are some of the other big programs?
Turn me down again, huh?
Never mind, dear. You're a great singer. Even Bill Goodwin said, with a voice like yours, you ought to sing in our big army show.
Army show?
Yes. It's in charge of some officer named Major Bose.
I'll forget it. I better get along to the office.
Yeah, I'll ride down in the bus with you. I have an appointment at the beauty shop.
Okay, let's go.
No way. Before we leave, won't you sing something just for me?
Oh, Grace.
Oh, please, dear. Just one little glorious burst of melody.
Well, all right. Just a gigolo, everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing.
Oh, George, you're wonderful. I won't be happy until your voice leaves the whole world the way it leaves me, weak and limp.
Thanks.
Oh, come on, I'm due at the beauty shop in 5 minutes.
What'll it be today, Mrs. Burns? A shampoo and set?
Oh, yes, and I'm kind of in a hurry, Josie.
Well, I'll do my best, Mrs. Burns, but we're short-handed, and I have to work on the customer in the next booth, too. The old horse face, I hope he chokes.
He? You mean there's a man in the next booth?
Well, sort of a man.
Josie, where are you?
Oh, that's him. I wish he'd go sit on a hot curling iron.
Josie, come back here. This finger wave of mine stinks. Josie, do you hear me? This finger wave stinks.
All right, all right. Leave your hair on the table and I'll do it over again.
No, Josie. I'm sure I know that man. What's his name?
I'm not allowed to tell, Mrs. Burns. The old goat scared the newspapers might find out he goes to a beauty shop.
Oh, come on, Josie. Give me a little hint.
Well, he's the stingiest man in Hollywood.
Oh, stingy, huh?
And how? When he gets a mud pack, we have to save the mud for him so he can put it in his victory garden.
Funny. I can't get it from that. Give me another hint.
Well, let's see. He used to drive an old broken-down Maxwell.
No, it's no use. I can't guess who it is.
You're not missing anything. He's tried to date every girl in town, and nobody will go out with him.
Oh, hello, Jack. How's Mary?
Gracie, is that you?
Well, yeah, come on into my booth, Jack.
Oh, sure, sure. Hello, Gracie. I guess you're surprised to see me here.
Well, yes, I am.
Well, you see, Mary lost a bobby pin the last time she was here, and I dropped by to look for it. You know what the bobby pin situation is, terrible.
Oh, sure.
I bet you thought I was here to get a beauty treatment. Gracie, you sound like you don't believe me.
Maybe that's because I don't.
Well, if I'm lying, may something terrible happen to Phil Harris.
Mr. Benny.
Yes?
Here's your mud. I wrapped it up for you.
Oh, well. Phil always played too loud anyway.
Well, Jack Benny in a beauty shop. Wait till the girls hear this.
Now, Gracie, look, you must promise
girls,
me.
Oh, girls, I brought your swan soap. Oh, hello, Gracie.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Why, Jack Benny, what are you doing here?
Well, I'll tell you, Bill. He's...
Well, Bill Goodwin in a beauty shop. Wait till the girls hear this, huh, Gracie?
Wait a minute. I just came over to bring some swan soap.
Well, Bill, I...
Oh, Bill Goodwin has beauty treatments. That's really something to tell the girls, huh, Gracie?
Hey, look. The operators here use swan soap. Not only because it's so mild for the customer's complexion, but because that same mildness makes it great at home. For the dishes, light laundry, or for bathing the baby. Swan's a new white floating soap that's 4 swell soaps in one.
Well, Bill,
well, Bill Goodwin in a beauty shop. Really, I thought that curly hair wasn't natural.
You know? Now, wait a minute. No girl in this shop has ever laid a hand on me. Except, of course, after working hours.
Oh. What are you doing here, Benny?
Well, I'll tell you, Bill. Jack is...
So, Bill Goodwin of the beauty shop. I'm getting mad at yours and everything.
I am not. My hands just happen to look gorgeous because I always wash my dishes with Swan.
Oh.
Swan is great for washing the dishes. Gives you loads of suds. Suds that are so mild and gentle your hands don't get that rough red dish panty look.
Well, Bill...
Bill! Good one in a beauty shop. And to have his eyebrows plucked, that's something, isn't it?
Now, look, Jack. I told you, I just came here to deliver some Swan soap. Swan's a great wartime buy. What I want to know is, what's Jack Benny doing here?
Well, I'll tell you, Bill.
Well,
he...
Bill, go...
Oh, nuts. Goodbye.
Gracie, look, for heaven's sake, don't let out my secret. I mean, I don't want everyone I meet to know I've been taking beauty treatment.
Oh, don't worry, Jack. They'll never suspect it.
Well, anyway, don't you tell. You know, if the newspapers get hold of it, I'm cooked. And you know how the gang would kid me on my program.
Oh, yeah, your program. Jack, you don't want this to get in the papers, huh?
No, I'll do anything to keep it out, Gracie, anything.
Oh, good. Starting Sunday, Jack, George will sing on your program.
George?
Yes.
Sing?
Uh-huh.
Gracie, I've heard prettier noises come out of Carmen Lombardo.
I see. Well, excuse me, Jack. I'm going to telephone a little news item to the paper.
Wait. Oh, you mean George Byrne?
Yes.
Oh, George, your husband.
Yes.
Oh, old Sugar Throat.
George.
Oh, well, I don't suppose it would hurt if George sang on my program once.
Well, I was thinking of having him sing every week.
No.
Well, I'll call the paper.
But Gracie, this is blackmail.
I know. Cute of me, huh?
Yeah, cute.
All right, that's the first portion of the Burns and Allen Show going back to November 2nd, 1943. A great comedy with special guest Jack Benny. And Gracie's going to bribe George, or she's going to blackmail Jack into letting George be the singer on Jack's program. Great program. And we'll get back to this in just a few minutes. Let's take a break here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, it is 1:33 in the morning on Monday morning. It's President's Day. And yesterday was Valentine's Day. It was also Jack Benny's birthday. We're celebrating his birthday. And we are not going to get to our 1,490 likes. I don't see it happening by 2 o'clock in the morning, which means I do not have to post a romantic video, which is good because I'm not a romantic guy, right?
Maybe that's the reason why people aren't liking it. They don't want to see that video.
They don't want to see.
Please, no, don't do it.
Please don't. All right. Well, we asked our listeners to help us get to 1490. We had about 30 or 40. But we're going to be short. I'm pretty sure we're going to be short. And
luckily,
that's the story,
you know,
of my
what?
Life.
We'll be short. I didn't say it. Luckily, we'll be back next week and we'll get some more of that.
All right. Let's get back now to Jack Benny, a special guest on this November 2nd, 1943 edition of the Burns and Allen Show.
The Swantet joins our popular tenor, Jimmy Cash, in an enchanting ballad from the top musical show of the year, Oklahoma.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
One is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky.
Meanwhile, we're back at the Burns home now. Jack Benny is pleading with Gracie to change her mind as they wait for George to come home from the office.
But why does it have to be my program, Gracie? I mean, why don't you have George sing on Eddie Cantor's program?
Well, because I didn't catch Eddie Cantor in a beauty shop with his toupee and curlers.
Hey, there must be some other show he can go on. Maybe Gabriel Heater needs a singer. Or Mr. Anthony. I mean, why don't you let George be his problem?
Oh, you amaze me. How can Jack Benny, who has the greatest talent in the world, fail to recognize George's talent?
Oh, do you really think I have the greatest talent in the world?
Well, certainly. Rochester, Dennis Day, Mary Livingston.
Oh, I see.
And now I've got a big thrill for you. I have your program for next Sunday night all planned.
You have?
Yes. It'll be the new and entertaining Jack Benny program featuring George Burns, California's answer to Frank Sinatra.
I can't do it, Gracie. I mean, I can't allow George to sing.
Well, shall I call the papers and tell them about the beauty shop?
He sings.
Now, listen to the way I have the program all worked out. You're the star, so of course you come out first.
Thank you.
Your line is, hello, and then George comes out for his opening number.
I just say hello.
Well, we could make it hello, everybody.
No, I don't want to hog the whole show.
Well, then George sings his second number, and back you come again.
Good.
To announce George's next number.
I hope my throat stands up.
And then right after that, Dennis Day comes in.
Dennis Day?
Yes.
Well, doesn't George do all the singing?
Well, yes, but I thought you might want a few laughs on the program.
Oh, yeah, I'll be glad to have them. I will, yes.
And then as soon as George finishes his next number, I'll come...
Now, wait a minute. Gracie, George can't sing the whole program. I mean, he's not that good. I know music, you know, I'm a musician.
You are?
Well, I play the violin, don't I? Well, don't I?
You're cute.
Look, Gracie, all that I'm...
Why, Jack Benny.
Hello, George. How's the juggling game?
I'm not a juggler. Why doesn't everybody stop with that?
Oh, now, dear, don't get excited. Jack has some marvelous news for you. Tell him, Jack. Jack! I think I'll go call the papers.
All right. I'll tell him.
Oh, good. I'll run out and make some coffee.
Well, Jack, what is it you want to tell me?
Well, first, I'd like to remind you that you're my dearest friend, George.
And you're my dearest friend, Jack.
I mean, you're even more than a friend to me, George.
You're even more than a friend to me, Jack.
I love you. I love you like a brother, George.
I love you like a brother, Jack.
I mean, I'd never do anything to hurt you, George.
Thanks.
Wait a minute, I'll try that again. I'd never do anything to hurt you, George.
I said thanks.
George, look, I mean, I wouldn't louse you up if you had a comedy program.
If I had a comedy program.
I mean, look, you're my dearest
look,
friend.
Look, Jack, what's the news,
I mean,
Jack?
You're even more than a friend to me.
The news, Jack.
Look,
what's the news?
What pals we've always been, George.
The news, Jack. You have some news for me.
Look, remember the time in Cincinnati when you were broke and I gave you $10?
It was Cleveland, Jack, and I gave you
$20. Well, I had the state right. It was Ohio.
Yeah, the news, Jack. What's this news you have for me?
Well...
Yes?
Well, dear, did Jack tell you the news?
No, not yet. He's been leading up to it by the way of Cleveland and Cincinnati.
Jack, I'll bet little Abner won't be the funniest thing in the paper tomorrow.
Oh, all right. George, look, I want you to sing on my radio program.
Why, Jack Benny.
Now, don't be
really?
Hasty, George. I mean, don't jump at it. Think it over for the duration.
I don't have to. I'll sing a dozen songs for you, pal, and it won't cost you a cent.
For free?
Sure.
No. I can't think of it that way.
Well, all right, then you can pay me.
No, I can't think of it that way either.
I know what's making Jack hesitate, dear. He hasn't heard you sing recently. Sing Ain't Mr. Hayden for him.
Sure, glad to.
Well, sit down, Jack.
No, I'll take it standing up.
Now, come on, dear.
No one to talk with all by myself. No one to walk with, I'm happy on the shelf. Ain't misbehaving, saving all my love off. Oh, baby, love for you, really saving love for you.
He doesn't juggle at all.
No.
I know for certain you're the one I love. I'm through with flirting, it's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, saving all my love for. Oh, baby, my love for you.
Jack, what makes you think he's a juggler?
He must be.
Jackie Horner, in the corner, don't go nowhere. And I don't care all your kisses that you gave me, baby. Daddy, daddy, daddy.
I might be blood and guts, but that's just guts.
I don't stay out late and I don't care to go. I'm home about it, me and my radio. Hey, misbehaving, saving all my love for you.
Well, Jack?
Gracie, call the newspaper.
Gracie, you know something? I got the impression that Jack Benny didn't like my singing.
Oh, George, that's silly. Didn't you hear him tell me to call the newspapers? He wants to give them a big story about you.
Yeah, but I noticed that while I was singing, he kind of turned green.
Oh, well, of course he turned green. You sang exactly like John McCormick.
Oh, so that's what it
was.
Well,
sure. Now, I'll go in and talk to Jack. You stay here and spray your precious little adenoids.
Okay.
From time to time and every time.
Jack?
Yeah?
Well, naturally, you were joking before when you told me to call the newspapers, weren't you?
Not me, Gracie. Look, I'd rather have everybody know I was in a beauty shop than have Sugar Throat smell up my program.
Well, I'm warning you. I'll phone the paper.
Phone them.
This is my last warning, Jack.
Go ahead.
I'll phone the paper.
Phone them.
This is my last warning, Jack.
Go ahead.
I'll phone the paper.
Phone them.
This is my last warning, Jack.
Go ahead.
I'll phone the paper.
For Pete's sake, phone them.
No, Jack, no, I can't. I'm too fine, too decent. I can't stoop to blackmail when I see it isn't working.
Now, please, don't think I'm a heel, Gracie. I'm kind of animals. I'm fond of children. But I just don't like George's voice.
Oh, you're fond of children, huh?
I love them.
Poor little Junior.
Poor little who?
Junior. He'd be so proud if he knew that his daddy had sung on the Jack Benny program.
Gracie, you mean...
Yes. George and I are parents now. He's the father and I'm the mother.
Gee whiz, I can't believe it. When did it happen?
Well, I don't remember exactly. We were so excited at the time.
Well, I'll be darned. Good old George has a baby. It hardly seems possible.
Yes. I was amazed when George told me.
I just can't get over it, Gracie. I'm so happy for you. So happy for George. Who does the kid look like?
Like me.
I'm so happy for the kid. Say, could I see him? I'm crazy about kids.
Really, Jack?
Oh, sure. I mean, many's the time I bought a bag of candy and blew up the bag to amuse a kid. Imagine good old George, your father.
Well, you can do something awfully nice for Junior. Let his father sing on your program.
Gracie, I'm mad about children.
No,
but that...
please, Jack. The baby adores you. When you're on the air, he lies in his crib, gurgling with his little foot in his mouth. When Fred Allen's on, he puts his foot in his ear.
Gee, what a smart little rascal.
I know you'll do it for Junior. I can look in your sensitive blue eyes and tell that you won't disappoint him.
They are blue, aren't they? Mm-hmm. All right, George can sing one song just for the baby.
Well, let him sing two songs. We're expecting another one.
Really?
Yes.
Good old George.
Did I hear somebody call me?
No, we were talking about you. Gracie told me everything. Congratulations, George.
You mean I can sing a song on your program?
Yes, sir. You deserve it. Gracie tells me there's going to be another one.
Well, two would be fine if it's all right with you.
Well, why not? Have you picked out a name for the second one?
Would you like Moon Glow?
Moon Glow Burns. Look, won't that be just a little too corny?
Oh, I don't think so, Jack. You know, while you were away, I took a few lessons from Crosby.
You did?
Yes.
Now, George, I know Jack's in a hurry.
Yeah, yes, I'll be going. But, George, first, can I see the nursery?
Well, Jack...
The nursery?
Hiya, folks. What goes on?
Oh, Bill, am I glad to see you.
Bill, I just heard the news. Now, why didn't you tell me that George and Gracie had
Yes, Bill. Oh, why didn't you tell Jack what George and I had?
Well, what did you have?
An idea for you to announce Jack's program, and George sings on it.
Huh? But I
meant... Well, that's a great idea, Jack. I'd be glad to.
Now, wait a minute. I have an announcer, Don Wilson.
Well, okay, you can have two announcers.
Don Wilson is two announcers.
But Don can't announce your program, Jack. He doesn't know anything about Swan soap.
Swan soap?
Well, sure. He doesn't know that Swan is the new white floating soap that's four soaps in one. The soap for dishes, light laundry, bathing the baby, or for your hands and face. Don doesn't know that.
Well, I could teach him. I mean, what am I saying? I don't sell soap. I sell grape nuts flakes.
But that's ridiculous, Jack. Can you bathe a baby with grape nuts flakes?
Well, I wouldn't want to answer that until I've talked to my sponsor.
Well, I can...
They're very resourceful, you know.
Well, I
They may be working on that right now.
Well, I can tell you the doctors recommend Swan for bathing the baby. Swan is so mild it's kind even to a little baby's tender skin. Pure as fine Castiles, too, so you know it must be great for your complexion.
Gee, bathing a baby. You ever bathe that little darling of yours, George?
Don't be silly. We take showers.
Huh?
He means us. But the Swan is great for bathing the baby.
Oh, yes, and Gracie breaks it in two, so she can...
Breaks it in two?
Well, sure, Jack. Swan breaks in two, so you can use half in the kitchen for your dishes and light laundry and half in the bathroom for the baby or for your tub or shower.
Oh, well, look, Bill, don't bother to tell me about Swan soap because I'm just using George on my program, not you. You see, I'm only doing it for Junior.
Junior?
Well, yes, George. That's what Jack calls you because you're so much younger than Jack.
No, look, I mean the baby.
The baby?
Yeah, but yes, that's what he calls me because I'm so much younger than you.
No, Gracie, look, I'm talking about your child.
Child?
Well, goodbye, Jack. See you at rehearsal Sunday.
Wait a minute. Gracie, what does he mean, our child?
Oh, dear. I knew there was something I forgot to tell you.
We haven't got a child.
You... Well, so that's it, Gracie. Just to get George on my program, you invented a baby.
Oh, no, I can't take credit for that. They were invented years ago.
Don't try to get out of it. I don't want to sing on the radio if I have to get on by tricks. Now apologize to Jack.
I'm sorry, Jack.
And don't ever do a thing like that again.
I won't, dear.
Ever, understand?
Yes, dear.
Come on, Jack, I'll walk you down to the corner.
My goodness, George, what you go through with a date.
Hello? Hello, Fibber? This is Gracie. Would you and Molly let George sing in your program next week? Yeah, I know you've got a singer, but I thought you might do it for Junior. Yes, you see, we just had a baby. And he'd be so proud of you. George, I've got some wonderful news. Fibber McGee wants you to sing on his program.
Really?
Yes. And when he comes over to close the deal, will you sort of fold this napkin into a triangle?
Why?
Well, for some silly reason, he thinks we have a baby.
Again?
Good night, folks.
Good night.
Makers of Swan, the new white protein soap, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune into your Columbia station again next week, same time. Don't forget, George Burns and Gracie Allen, CBS next Tuesday night. And now till next week, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, I, Swan, how about you? Good night, everybody.
The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show, November 2nd, 1943. Special guest, Jack Benny. And we have been celebrating Jack Benny's birthday on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. Let's take a break, and then I'll tell you what's coming up next week, Saturday and Sundays. That's our time slot, 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. every weekend here on the legendary Radio 720 WGN. Let's take a break. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. We have a couple more minutes of the show, and then it's Nick DiGilio. And speaking of Nick DiGilio, the man himself is with us. What's going on,
hey,
Nick?
That Jack Benny stuff was killer.
Oh, man.
Bob, with, I'm sorry.
With George Burns, and
oh,
Gracie Allen.
God, so funny.
You know, we had a chance to play not only a Jack Benny program, but we had an episode of Suspense that he
I
was in.
I heard that when I got here.
Yeah, the face is familiar. And then
it was so funny because at one point in that in the episode, he says, let's go out to dinner, it's on me. And I immediately was like, they had to throw that in there. You know, I know it's a serious episode, Suspense and everything, but they have to throw the jab in there that, like, I'll pay for dinner because Jack Benny won't.
You know, he's not paying for any dinner. That's hysterical. Well, you know, Jack Benny, as you know, was one of the greatest entertainers of the golden age of movies and TV and radio.
Nobody quite had the timing that Jack Benny had.
I know.
I mean, he could hold for a laugh forever.
I know.
You know, I mean, I'm thinking it over. That whole Your Money on Your Life, I'm thinking it over. One of the greatest moments ever.
Well, look at Seinfeld, right? So the Seinfeld show, one of the best comedy shows of all time.
Yep.
Think about the correlation between Jerry Seinfeld and Jack Benny. Yet, you know, you have Jack Benny was a comedian and he had his own radio show, and you had Jerry Seinfeld who was a comedian and he had his own television show, and Jerry Seinfeld, he didn't like really get a lot of laughs. It was everybody around him.
That's
same
right.
thing with Jack Benny.
Yep.
I think there was sort of an homage. It wasn't like, hey, let's rip off the Jack Benny show. Mm-hmm. It was like, Jack Benny is like an idol of
all
Jerry
these
Seinfeld.
Guys. And another thing, I've been watching all the reruns, Johnny Carson. Antenna TV, it's a blessing.
Oh, I know.
Like
it's
every
so
morning
great.
When I get home from work, the first thing I do is watch Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
And he idolized Jack Benny.
Yes.
And, you know, you can see that in the way that Johnny would deliver the monologue and the way that he was. Jack Benny, one of the most influential comedic geniuses of all time.
Oh, yeah. And when Jack would be on Carson, you could see Johnny Carson was like, oh, my gosh, my idol is here, right?
Just over the weekend, they had Jackie Gleason, whose only appearance The Tonight Show was 1985, and it was amazing. He had him on for three segments.
Yeah.
And then he just had, who was it he just had on the other night? I can't remember now. Mel Brooks, 1975.
Mel Brooks. Wow.
Mel Brooks, 1975, like right after Young Frankenstein came out.
Yeah.
And it was just like two nights in a row, Jackie Gleason and Mel Brooks.
Ugh.
And this stuff, the Johnny Carson stuff is just a treasure.
He had them all.
Oh.
He had them all.